Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my man in the chair, Captain Jack Barry.
Jack. You call me Ned.
Yeah, what's
Ned
up, man?
From Spider-Man.
That's right. The man in the chair.
Oh, my God.
What's going on, dude?
Not much, man. Just another day.
Another day in paradise. Yes. Yeah. Yep. We are in the throes right now of packing boxes up, because we're switching apartments. All right. We're not moving away from Cedar, not moving away from the church. Things are going well right there. But we had an apartment that, when we first started looking, wasn't ready to be moved into. It's just a better space, cheaper, things like that. And it finally came open and we were talking, we're like, you know, we should just do it. Let's just do it. So we're basically packing stuff up and we're moving probably 5 minutes down the road, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But so I'm in the midst of boxes and my books are all boxed up and everything. Yeah. So it's a little chaos in the Loftus house right now. But by the time this episode drops, we should be mostly through it. So. Looking forward to that.
Did you have to break your lease? I know we talked about this.
No, thankfully. Yeah, that was kind of the Gideon's fleece, if you will, that we kind of put out there. Is like, if we had to break the lease, it was going to be expensive. We didn't want to do that, so we put it up on Facebook Marketplace advertising a lease takeover, because you can do that. And then somebody wanted it. And we got the lease taken over. So much cheaper, so much easier. We get to it, and it's a good deal for everybody. So it's just a simple lease takeover, which is awesome. And we're going to be out here in a couple of days. So a little chaos, but that's okay. Like I said, we're really excited. It's kind of the place that we wanted when we first moved up here that just wasn't available. And the Lord orchestrated it all and made it happen. So We're pretty stoked. But
good deal.
Jack, my friend, we've got stuff to talk about today. But before we do, why don't you hit us with some of the business? This week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so I don't know if you can see that for our YouTube channel friends.
Oh,
That I'm pointing to right there is the
Ark
of the Covenant.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I put it right there because I have to re-season it. And so it came with some seasoning stuff. So that is a humidor that Josh got me on my birthday. Yeah. And hopefully it's sitting at 69%. And I got to leave it there for about 2 or 3 days.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So we got to hopefully that it seasons out right for summer and stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
In any case, I have this cigar that I'm going to talk about in that humidor right now, and then another cigar that I'm waiting on as well, too, to smoke. But
nice.
this cigar, so June is for Jalapa. So we've been going on these different kind of themes for the months. We're focusing mostly on cigars made with Jalapa tobacco out of the Jalapa Valley region of Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be, this is going to be our second to last cigar that we review. And I figure we're going to go a little bougie and then finish it out with some budget stuff. Okay. So next week is going to be budget cigars. This week is like celebratory. This week is, we should have done this last week in order to prepare for Father's Day, right? Mm-hmm. But in any case, this is the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Sin Compromiso. Mm-hmm. And it is in the torpedo sizing, which to them is like the Selección number 2. So this cigar is, so it's interesting, the wrapping on it, like the binder or something along those lines, it's wrapped in Spanish cedar. So usually what comes, maybe you can see this, maybe the people can see it too. So when, actually, you know what I'm going to do? Hold on one moment. I'm going to go get it, actually.
Here we go. We're making it happen. Dude, and not only, okay, this is for our YouTube people. Not only does Jack have the nice humidor over there, but he's also got the Spurgeon and the Calvin busks set up. So that, I think, it rounds out the whole picture. It is what it does. So
what's
Jack,
that?
As always, I was telling the people as you were getting the cigar that not only do you have the humidor over there, but you also got them Calvin and Spurgeon busts.
Oh yeah.
Which rounds out the whole picture. Perfectly.
And I got the Cap Daddies over there too.
Yeah, that's right. The Cappadocians. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
what do we got?
Y'all can see this.
There it is.
So
dude, that's a good look. Oh, it comes with a cedar. It comes with a cedar
it's
wrap
Spanish
also.
Cedar wrapper right there. So you got the Spanish cedar wrapper. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's in that torpedo sizing right there. So I've smoked this in a different sizing. So, I mean, it's basically the same thing. Plus, we'll talk more about the ratings and stuff like that. So that's what it looks like. Sin Compromiso, Spanish cedar, everything like that. The blend on this is going to be interesting. The blend on this is the wrapper is Mexican San Andreas. And it is a different San Andreas wrapper. It's called the Colvito Tonto.
Yeah.
So it's like a different, it's just like how different tobaccos are grown in Nicaragua. Like I said, the Jalapa Valley, it's a certain part of San Andreas, Mexico, where they grow different San Andreas wrapper. So the wrapper is San Andreas. The binder is Ecuadorian Habano. And the filler is from Nicaragua, from the Jalapa Valley.
Very okay? nice.
So you have that going for you. I would say it's pretty much the flavors that you're going to get, pretty earthy, pretty chocolatey, some kind of light, a certain amount of, how should I say it? I don't know if I could call it like vanilla-ish type flavors. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it very much has a really good, smooth taste to it. This has been rated 92 points on Half Wheel.
Oh.
And people,
yeah,
if you get a 90 or above on Half Wheel, you are like in the club. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You have made it in the cigar world.
You bougie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's what you got going for you as far as ratings go. Josh, as always.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay.
As far as MSRP goes on this bad boy. I actually paid a little bit under MSRP for this, but
okay.
Hit me with it. What you think?
With a 91 on Half Wheel?
92
on Half Wheel.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going on this one. I'm going 1785.
Okay, I don't know if you cheated, but
no,
that's pretty darn close.
Is it really? No cheating whatsoever. None at all. That was literally off the top of my head what I thought for that stick.
So I paid $16.50 for this.
Okay. And regular.
It could go as high as to $17.95.
Let's go, dude. I'm back. Josh is back. I've had a couple rough weeks. I've had a couple rough weeks of guessing, and I'm back now.
There are different iterations of the Sincompromiso in the different vitola sizing. It can go as low as $15. It can go as high as, like I said, $17.95. But yeah.
Excellent.
Very good. But yes, this is the Sincompromiso by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust.
Nice.
Very good cigar, very high ratings, made with Jalapa tobacco. There you go, folks.
Well done. Well, Jack, as always, my friend, bring in the heat. Bring in the quality reviews to the podcast. We thank you for that. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of age, let's be clear, you know what to do. That is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack, today we are talking about taking the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do, because you didn't grow up in the Christian home as I did. For me, Jack, taking the Lord's name in vain was simply using the Lord's name in all its different iterations as a curse word. Okay. Right? That is what I grew up thinking and believing about that particular commandment, right? When we are told in Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay, that is the command, right? Mm-hmm. So growing up, what I believed that command to mean was simply do not use the Lord's name, whether it be God or Christ or Jesus, as an exclamation of profanity, right? Don't use it in a profane way, right? But you know, coming into, I would say, you know, when I kind of made that transition into the Reformed traditions, started digging into law and gospel things, started digging into confessionalism, covenantalism, and just having an even more robust understanding of scripture and the law of God, I came to, I would say, an even deeper understanding of what that command is talking about. And you wanted to talk about that this week. And I think it's a fantastic topic. I want to ask you first, why this topic and why now? What are the things that kind of brought this to the forefront in your mind as something that we should cover, especially in the context of the local church?
Yeah. So right now, obviously, we're going through election years, right? Mm. And election years,
what I had noticed,
is where you get the crazies on every angle of every different thing. And as we all know, when the court in New York rendered a ruling of, you know, guilty for Donald Trump, there was a lot of people that I knew online. And actually, this was taken up by another 1689er. I'm trying to remember his name. He's a pastor, I believe, in California, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, I reposted this on Facebook. I actually might find it here as well, just to give him a shout out. But basically, what the post was saying is that it was equating Donald Trump's guilty verdict to Jesus's guilty verdict by the Sanhedrin, eventually by Pontius Pilate, and eventually into his execution. Right?
Yeah. I think the actual meme that went around was like Christ. I think it was Jesus hugging Trump or standing next to Trump, and the caption said. The caption said, "Don't worry, they found me guilty too."
Yeah,
to which I saw and a little bit more than cringed about put my hand through my computer. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was so there was a couple different memes. There was that one, which was technically, a second commandment violation as well too, because of a depiction of Christ hugging Donald Trump. And then you had one where it was just a blank screen where it says, you know, I serve somebody that was found guilty to, or alluding to that.
Right.
Right. And I would say like that is very, borderline what we're talking about today when it comes to taking the Lord's name in vain, and almost pretty much is blasphemy at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I would be comfortable. I'd be comfortable saying it's not even borderline. It sure. it jumped yeah. the border.
Yeah.
It did. It yes, 100% it did.
So really, really some of what we know and some of what, because I remember when I started to grow up as a believer, I don't know about grow up, but I was 18 years old when I came to the faith. And when I started to understand the Ten Commandments and stuff like that, I did have kind of like your similar understanding. If you use the name of Jesus, if you use the name of Christ, if you use the name of God in any way as a curse, then you're basically breaking that commandment. Mm-hmm. Versus taking the Lord's name in vain is a way more broader term or a broader understanding of it than just using God's name in replacement of a curse word.
Yeah.
It's more of a, are you true to being a witness for Jesus? Like, yep. Are you being a good witness
yep.
for the Lord? Yep. Like, the Lord has made a covenant with his people back in with Israel, and now he's made a covenant with his new people, the church. So all the believers who are found in the church are his people, and they're in covenant relationship with God, obviously under the new covenant, mm-hmm. Obviously with what Jesus has given us in the New Testament. So with that being said, taking the Lord's name in vain has much more to do, and a broader understanding of it is much more of how you are being a witness to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and how you are using his name. In ways of, are you using the Lord's name in vain to basically do these kind of shammy kind of comparisons mm-hmm. with certain politicians and Jesus, or are you actually witnessing to the fact that Jesus was the second person of the Trinity? He came down to us. He died in our place for our sins on the cross, and that basically supersedes any other understanding of we have to him versus politicians getting, you know, put on trial and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep. So absolutely.
That's a huge broad kind of overview of the understanding of it. I don't know if, you know, upon your readings and what you've come across, Josh, is the same thing, but that has kind of been my broader overview of taking the Lord's name in vain as well too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. And you know who else agrees with you is Kevin DeYoung. And I have an article here that Kevin DeYoung wrote back in 2018 for Crossway entitled, "What Does It Really Mean to Take the Lord's Name in Vain?" And I'm going to read a little portion of it, because I think he does an excellent job in describing exactly what Jack and I are talking about. He says, "What exactly is forbidden by the third commandment? The word vain, as it's rendered in the ESV, can mean empty, nothing, worthless, or to no good purpose. We are forbidden, therefore, from taking the name of God, or taking up the name, or bearing the name, as the phrase could be translated, in a manner that is wicked, worthless, or for wrong purposes. This does not mean that we have to avoid the divine name altogether. The name Yahweh, the Lord, in most translations appears some 7,000 times in the Old Testament. We don't need to be superstitious about saying his name, but we must not misuse it. The Old Testament identifies several ways which the third commandment can be violated. Most obvious is to blaspheme or curse the name of the Lord, as we see in Leviticus 24:16. But there's much more to that. It says, the third commandment also forbids empty or false oaths. You must not swear by my name falsely or profane the name of the Lord. Right? When you make a declaration swearing by God's name, it must not be a false promise or one you do not intend to keep. The third commandment also prohibits false visions and false claims to speak on God's behalf. For such prophets, prophecy lies in my name." We get that from Jeremiah chapter 23. "Strangely enough, sacrificing one's child to the false god Molech was considered a violation of the third commandment because it profaned the name of the Lord. The Israelites were to stone men who sacrificed his children in this way because of how serious it was. Similarly to unlawfully touch holy things was considered a violation of the third commandment as well. Right. So we see, and the article, the article goes on to go even more in depth of that stuff. And we'll actually link the article in the description of this ep. I'd suggest that you read it. It's like probably a 2-minute read, but it's really, really great. But yeah, exactly what Jack has already described is what Kevin is describing here as well. In that, when we think about the name of God, it's much more than just how do we utilize the verbiage of his name, right? Obviously, to use his name in a profane way, to use his name as a curse word, as an exclamation of frustration or anger or passion, that's not a good thing to do. That's not a right thing to do, right? And that is something that we should be on guard against as Christians, is to not utilize the name of the Lord in an unworthy manner in that way, because the Lord is holy. His name is holy, and it should be utilized in the correct context and for the correct things, right? Yeah. There's the old adage you see in you know, TV shows and movies and things like that, when, you know, someone wants to insult somebody, they insult their mom, right? Right. They'll bring up the name of their mom in a derogatory way. And you see, you know, whether it be the New York gangster or something like that, get all hot and bothered, be like, you don't talk about my mom like that. Right. Right. Because there is a level of respect that goes with the name. Right. And there's lines that you don't cross. Right. And obviously that's a comedic example, but the example is there nonetheless. The name of God to his people should be so, and I'm going to use the triggering word for Jack here, hallowed, right? Mm. that it should be used rightly and used correctly. So when we utilize the name of the Lord in our speech, it should be done with reverence and with love and gratitude and respect, because the name of the Lord is holy, right?
Yeah.
Now, as Jack has already said, and as we've heard from Kevin, that is not where the commandment and the intent of the commandment ends. It is so much deeper than that, right? And we see this throughout the New Testament as well, right? We see Christ showing the depth of the commandments. It's like, well, you haven't murdered anybody, but have you hated in your heart? Well, you haven't committed adultery, but have you lusted after a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And we see that the depth of the commandments are so much greater than at first glance, right? So put that into our context today, right? We have many individuals utilizing the name of the Lord, utilizing the name of Jesus Christ as a means of gain, right? Yeah. We saw this in the Reformation days, right? Which is why the Reformation needed to happen. Utilizing the name of the Lord and the authority of the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, as a means to increase your power and your financial stability, right? We see that in the charismatic health and wealth movement today, right? That, well, you know, we need to, you know, God wants us to have a new jet or a bigger building. And, you know, if you're faithful enough in your giving and in your giving us money, then you'll never get sick and you'll have all these blessings. That's using his name in vain. That's utilizing the Lord's promises. It's utilizing his stature. It's utilizing his status. It's utilizing his position as the Almighty as a means to increase not his kingdom, but your kingdom.
Yeah.
Right? And we see that so much in the health and wealth prosperity movement today. And it's a blasphemous movement, right? As Jack's already alluded to. There's nothing that you can set your clock to the exact time that you know it's going to happen, when the conservative or Republican nominee is going to utilize in some way Christianity to pander to a group of people in order to gain their vote.
Yeah.
Okay. In some cases, maybe they are legitimately safed. I would say in most, probably not.
And you can see the same thing happening on the other side of that political aisle too.
100%. Yep.
You do have a guy.
We'll swing both ways.
Who is our president, Joe Biden?
Yep.
Who says that he's a Catholic, mm-hmm. and I'm sure people would try and use the Lord's name in vain to equate his certain personality and how he deals with people on the same level as Christ too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that would happen in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It's both, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't just a conservative problem. This isn't just a liberal problem. This is a problem that is throughout our culture and throughout the church, right? Let's bring it a little closer to home. You have pastors who are part of, you know, Orthodox churches that are utilizing the position that they have in order to gain more influence, whether it be book deals, Twitter followers, right? YouTube subscribers, podcast listeners. And they're utilizing their position as prophet, if you will, the one that says, thus says the Lord, in order to do that. And Jack, we've seen time and time again what happens when that is the emphasis instead of what it should be the emphasis, and that is leading well out of the authority of Scripture.
Yeah, and then we just saw it as well, too, just recently, where I think I put this on to to Josh's radar about, what's his name? He is the pastor at Gateway Church, who's now been, he said that he had a quote-unquote moral failing before he went in the pastor, but he really, let's be honest, he sexually molested a 12-year-old when I think he was in either 19 or 20. Robert Morris,
yeah.
The guy
that just came
out. Who put his stamp of approval on Mark Driscoll, mm-hmm. like, highly ironic sure. This is happening, right?
Sure.
Like, let's be honest. Like, okay. But yet again, like, when that happens and you sweep it under the rug and you do not take care of that problem, and you let it fester over the years, like, literally, probably that guy has never been under church discipline for that at all. Right? It was probably just this momentary, okay, we got to do a PR campaign in order to kind of, like, distance him away from that. Like, that's using the Lord's name in vain. Like, that's showing that you think that the Lord authorizes sin in order to accomplish certain means, which he doesn't.
No.
I think if anything, the Lord supersedes sin in order to accomplish his needs, and the needs within his people. Like, you can see that in Scripture to where.
Yeah. There's a difference between the Lord using sin.
Yeah.
And approving of sin.
Yeah.
He
exactly.
never approves of it. He uses it. But he never.
I mean, you could go back. Yeah, you can go back to even the preaching of how Jesus was crucified, right? Mm-hmm. So, and how the apostles use that dynamic of, you know, they talk about, you know, you use this. Even Joseph says this. You know, what man meant for evil, God meant for good. And the same dynamic happens over in the sham trial in which the Sanhedrin did against Jesus to crucify and kill him. But God vindicated Jesus because the Lord raised him on the third day. So, there's stuff like that especially in the book of Acts, where the apostles start preaching. And when they start preaching, they start talking about this interaction between sin and basically God maybe not using that sin and authorizing it for his purposes, but basically it was involved in the certain ways in which the Messiah had to die and be buried and rise again. Yep. So there's stuff like that all over the book of Acts.
Yeah.
A lot in the preaching of the apostles.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I mean, this has a, I think, a great personal application as well. Right. Because we as Christians are called to be ambassadors. Right. We are literally taking the name of the Lord. Right. It's stamped on our hearts. and we're taking it into the world to make disciples, right? Our speech, our conduct, our motives, our thoughts, our actions, everything is done through the lens of our ambassadorship, right? So when we look at how we are to live, we live in a way that is not attempting to earn our salvation or earn that ambassadorship, but we live in a way that understands we do have a responsibility to represent Christ and represent him truthfully. So when we talk about taking the Lord's name in vain, every time that we fall short, every time we place our own desires and our own wants above the standard of Scripture, every time we move in a way that is not in line with the authority of Scripture, we are doing so under the authority and under the ambassadorship of Christ, and we're not doing it truthfully. We are living lives in those moments that is doing so, taking the Lord's name in vain, right? It is a serious thing.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever we place our own desires above that of what the word says we should be doing, because we cannot escape the ambassadorship, right? You can't just take that badge off when you want to act sinfully and then put it back on, right? It stays with us. Our identity is in Christ. Thank the Lord for that, right? But there are times that our conduct will lie about the name of the Lord, right? It is a serious thing, right? And I think we would do well to think of this commandment in those serious terms, because it is a great deterrent for sinful behavior. And I'm not saying it should be motivated by fear, but motivated by how good and glorious the name of the Lord is. Think about what the Lord has done for you, right? Yeah. Think about his holiness, his perfection, his righteousness. How great is the name of the Lord? Let's live lives that seek to honor and reflect that, not in vain, but in truth. Right.
Yeah. Plus what you're talking about, as we're all ambassadors of the Lord Jesus as Christians, our local churches are his embassies. Mm-hmm. If you think in the same way that a country has an embassy in another country, like the Lord Jesus has embassies on this earth, and they are his local churches.
Yeah. His people.
So you have to think of it in that way as well, too. Like, nobody from like an embassy of a different country is going to use their country's name in vain. So why should we use our Lord's name in vain in these certain ways when we're witnessing to his name, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to give a shout out to there's a guy that I finally found my post.
Oh, nice.
Off of Facebook, but his name's Jeff Weisner.
And oh yeah, Jeff. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's a 1689 pastor, really good guy. I think his church either went through adopting the 1689 as their confession of faith or something along those lines. But he put out this where it's just basically the blue screen.
Yeah.
Right. You can't really see that. But it says, Jesus was convicted in a sham trial and crucified. I still follow him. So it's like
you're trying to make an equation between Jesus and Trump.
Yeah.
Is what you're trying to do with that post. Now, to be fair, Jeff didn't do this. Jack's about to read his response. let's be clear.
So Jeff says, a certain meme has multiplied on my feed today. I fail to see how this is anything short of a blasphemous analogy that violates the third commandment, like we're talking about. Christian, consider how invoking and demeaning the holy name of Christ for political propaganda actually sins against him.
Very true. Very wise. Right. And yeah, that's something, again, it's our motivations matter, right? As we wrap this up, we do not want to be a people that take the Lord's name in vain in our conduct and in our speech, in our actions, and the entirety of who we are should be speaking truth about who God is. Right? Now, do we do that perfectly? No.
No.
We don't. We don't. Right? So we need to realize that even in our failings, even in our failure to take the Lord's name and use it truthfully, Christ's grace still remains. It still remains for those that fail, right? Because the truth about who Christ is so much more real and so much more powerful than the lie that you can preach.
Yeah.
Right? The grace of Christ is so much more than the amount that you are able to sin. Now, do we sin and do we lie that the grace of Christ might manifest in our lives? No, of course not, right? Of course we don't do that. But we strive out of that motivation and out of that understanding that Christ is so beautiful. His grace is so wonderful. The name of the Lord is so great and so good that it should motivate us to live lives that reflect that truth, right? And when we have the correct understanding, I believe, of what it truly means to take the Lord's name in vain, I believe we can now truly live lives that take the Lord's name and reflect the truth that the Lord's name brings, right? So I think all that to say, this was a very perfect topic, especially for the times that we're in right now, Jack, as I think it is so important that our local churches, especially right now where there's so much that's trying to distract them, utilize this and say, okay, where is the Lord's name being used in a way or in a context that it shouldn't be? Where is this being used to promote a lie?
Yeah.
Or to promote something other than what Scripture says it should be promoting, right?
Yeah.
It's a worthwhile and worthy exercise for Christians to be engaging in, especially during times of political advertisements and debates and turmoil, right? Because everyone's going to throw around the name God. Everyone's going to throw around the name Christian. Everyone's going to throw around the name Jesus. But it takes the discerning Christian to understand, are you utilizing that correctly? Do you understand what that actually means? Because if you don't, it's blasphemous.
Yep.
And it's a violation of the third commandment, and it's serious. So let's be discerning Christians and discern the culture's use of the Lord's name and also our own use in our speech, our thoughts, and our conduct so that we speak truth about who God is and not a lie. Right.
Yep.
So.
Big right, Eva Jack. Has sung, sir. Big Eva has sung.
Well, excellent topic, dude. That was really, really, really good discussion. So why don't you get us out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate our musings about the third commandment and about how that applies to your local church and want to engage with us more about different topics, different questions that you might have for us, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. You have the Facebook, the multiverse, if you will. The Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow. And the sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X. Yes, that little dumpster fire. You can follow us at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might see our mugs on different avenues of streaming.
That's right. Yep. So if you would like to watch this show as well as listen to it, you can head on over to YouTube and search for the Reformatory Podcast, and you can see our mugs. You can see our faces as we traverse local church topics for you guys. And if you head on over there, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd greatly appreciate that. We also would also appreciate a like and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast get out to more people. Maybe you've been listening for a while and you haven't given us a rating on Apple. We'd really appreciate if you would do that. It would mean a lot. Last but not least, we have a Patreon, All Access. We call it the Podluck because it's where the most exclusive listeners go. Right? The ones that truly, truly get what we're doing here and want to be part of it. They don't want to just leave right after service. They want to come to the Podluck. They want to bring a casserole. They want to sit down. They want to get comfy, and they want to have some fun. That's what the Patreon is for. All right? We just released earlier on Monday a little snippet a little snippet of one of our most recent Podluck episodes. You can go over and listen to that, kind of hear the flavor of it. It truly is where Jack and I kind of put our feet up, let our hair down, and say whatever comes to our mind. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. So if you want to head on over there for the cost of not even a Starbucks drink a month, $5. $5 a month, you get bonus episodes, you get reformatory chat, you get cool exclusive stuff. It's a great time, and our pledge to you, if you make that $5 holla, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the reformatory.